Next Step 307, April 24th, 2014.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and now on Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step. The April 24th, Armenian Martyrs' Day Genocide Commemoration Edition of The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about looking at life through the lens of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, and this Armadox look is yours right now. Yes. Take it with us. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by epostle.net. Hey, if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. I think these introductory remarks that we make every week on The Next Step probably ring extra clear today, being April 24th, because it is about continuing the In His Shoes mission. It's about Armenian Orthodoxy applied today. Let me say welcome here. I'm glad you were joining us today. It is April 24th, as if you didn't know. I said it a few times. But also, I'm in Glendale. I'm broadcasting in Glendale. Just got into the studios. It's like 10 after 3. I came down quickly, turned on the microphone and all the equipment, and Susie just stepped out. She's going to be back in a couple minutes. We are putting together today's edition of The Next Step. It is like a ghost town here in Glendale. You know, like, there's like nobody around. You go down the streets. Our studio is at the Armenian Church, at the St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. It's directly across the street from a hub of public schools, Hoover High School, Toll Middle School, in Keppel Elementary School, and I'm just standing out there, and there's like nobody there. There's like no kids. Yes, it is a citywide holiday as well, and I think this came out of necessity. I think just there wasn't enough people going to school on April 24th. And with that being said, I hope that those people who are not going to school are somewhere doing something meaningful. And I know there's many ways that people express themselves on April 24th. There is your usual demonstration, which takes place in Hollywood. That's a mass walk. There's the church services. There's the gathering at the Armenian Martyrs Monument. Those are all Los Angeles events, and I know that in every place that The Next Step is heard where there are Armenian populations, I know today is a very, very special day. It is a sacred day, being the 99th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. Can you believe it? 99 years ago, April 24th, and I guess we gotta believe it because life goes on, but how we address it and how we respond to it, well, that's still That's still up to each and every one of us. And I think it's so beautiful to show the diversity of the Armenian people, that there are people who will market in different ways. With protest, they will market with demonstration. They will market solemnly. Some of them market by just being proud of who they are. I got to tell you, my niece this morning, she posted on her Facebook page a pregnant picture of herself taken from the top down. Yes, taken with her camera pointed to her Dorothy-esque shoes, ruby slippers, and showing her stomach. It says, "The baby boy is kicking today. Proof that #. Turkey failed." Oh, I love it. Profoundly true. Thank you, Ani. That is really nice. Baby boy's kicking today. Profoundly true. Yes, that proof that turkey failed. And like within a couple hours of that one, I received in my email box a statement from my son's graduating class, and it had an expression of him as he's going to be graduating with his master's degree in architecture. And I thought to myself, yes, another profoundly true experience that, yes, turkey failed. I mean, that isn't that like just the ultimate payback, like to live? You know, to live and create, isn't that what it's all about? Last night we were at a gathering and we had a few Armenian kids getting up and playing Armenian music. You had Armenian poetry. And isn't that what it's all about? To say that, yes, you're not going to dictate who I am by the negativity you've given me, by the genocide you've given me. This really bothers me. Awful. That so many times we get caught up and we allow somebody else and this reality of a genocide to define us. The genocide cannot define you, because that's admitting that they've won. I will never admit that. Now, how I react to that genocide, well, that's important. Yes, that is defining in a sense to me. Because the way I react to that genocide is just to create. It's to love, to share that love. And we have to take advantage of these opportunities to talk about that love, the power of that love. I mean, to be able to say, yes, that was attempted genocide. Well, it is genocide because there's a systematic program, but it was attempted, it failed. Especially when you consider the statement that the Turks made, that there will be one Armenian and that Armenian will be in a museum. Look at that. Not only are we around, and not only did we get from crucifixion to resurrection, but we got over to ascension. And that's going to be really the theme for this coming year. I've been involved in the 100th anniversary commemoration. In fact, here in the Western Diocese, I've been appointed as the chairman of the 100th anniversary commemoration. And I told the Archbishop, you know, I'd love to do it. I'd be honored to do this. But with the simple condition that it can't be about looking back, but we have to think about where we're going. And where we're going is a beautiful place. We have an opportunity to look at the past, to learn from the past, to celebrate our today, but also to define our tomorrow. And that tomorrow has to be filled with the energy that we get as human beings, as people, from God alone. And God's energy is a love energy. That love energy allows us to create. So let's create. Let's make our new tomorrows. Let's make them beautiful. That's what it's about. And so I thought today, being April 24th, we don't get this opportunity too often where, yeah, you know, I've talked about April 24th all the time about, and those of you who don't know, I take it for granted that everyone, all of our listeners know April 24th. April 24th is a day that Armenians designate as the beginning of the genocide. That is the day that the first group of intellectuals in Istanbul were rounded up in 1915, okay? So the intellectuals, the group of people that were the leadership of the Armenian community was rounded up on April 24th, and hence that signaled the beginning of the genocide. Now remember, genocide is not like a war. It's not like the Turks said, let's go get the Armenians. It's a systematic program of annihilation where you target the Armenians and say, not let's go get the Armenians, let's wipe them out, let's annihilate them so that there aren't any Armenians left. And so this program of genocide began on April 24th with this roundup of intellectuals, with the roundup of the leadership of the Armenian community. So April 24th is that designated day, and every year we use this as a marking spot to say that the years have gone by, and of course 99 years have gone by. Next year will be 100. And I invite you to get online and check out the video that I did a couple of years ago. It's called Leveraging Love, and I'll allude to it today, but probably not as much as you're used to hearing from me, because today I've got to tell you, I'm so wound up with just different experiences that I want to share with you. What I've been through this past week, and I know I've been getting so many emails from you and so many nice comments about the things that we did at Easter. I know this will be kind of a part two to the Easter celebration. Because think about it for a moment. What is the premise of Armadoxy? It's about love, and it comes out of the Easter celebration of resurrection, but also it's Armenian as well. And think about the Armenian experience, okay? So you've got this incredible message that Christ has resurrected, and just a couple of days later, you're saying, well, the darkest page in history, not only Armenian history, human history, is April 24th, the beginning of genocide, mass annihilation. So how do you reconcile these two statements? Christ is risen, the greatest event of all history, and the greatest tragedy of all history. How do you put them together and say, well, okay, I'm part of both traditions? Doesn't one cancel out the other? Well, not necessarily. Actually, one gives meaning to the other, and guess what? It's not one or the other. It's each of them give meaning to the other. Yes, 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 I know. You want to fight with me and you want to say that, okay, well, the Christian experience is much bigger than an Armenian experience. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about individuals. Each of us has to react to the resurrection. And so we bring in our own baggage. We bring in our own history. So it's not just some isolated event out there and you say, okay, Christ is risen. But you approach that Christ, that empty tomb, with your own baggage, with your own difficulties. Okay, I may, as an Armenian, as genocide survivor, you may come in as a divorcee, you may come in as somebody who has had incredible incredible health issues that have really challenged you in many, many ways. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. What does that mean to you? You've just suffered and battled cancer, and it looks like you're losing. Okay, Christ is risen. What do you want to say about that? Same thing with the genocide. How can you reconcile these two kind of things? So this is what I'm going to be talking about in just a couple minutes for the rest of the show, actually, because there's a lot on my mind that I want to share with you. So I'm going to start off with the song of the day right now, as we do every week. And this is off of the new Ian Anderson CD. It is a collection of songs under the title Homo Erraticus. And a particular song just caught my attention. It is brand new. It came out about a week ago. It's called After These Wars. Enjoy.
After battle with wounds to lick and bows and bells all reuniting, rationing austerity, it did us good after the fighting. Now time to bid some fond farewells and walk away from empires crumbling, post-war baby boom to fuel with post-Victorian half-dressed fumblings. I see a screen, grey cathode tube, in walnut cabinet, pride of place, in holy family living room, clip tone announcer, powdered face. And now to mold public opinion, sanctify the good and great, lordly over his dominion, brash television seals our fate. After these wars, when gentler winds were blowing, after heard these boys when stocking tops were showing, when the co-op gave us daily bread and penicillin raised the dead, and combine harvesters kept us fed. After these wars, we thanked the Yank and thanked the Lord for sparing us from dark invasion. Now to liberate, rebuild, and balance Europe's new equation. Spooky spies in from the cold, with lies and secrets to be sold to bigger brothers, bigger bombs, Le Carre thrillers to be told. We take our place amongst those others who would punch above their weight, divest ourselves of glowing mantle, mantle of old Britain great. Big part cast in Hollywood, rival thespian tolerated, world weary ham upon the stage, evergreen but overrated. After these wars, when gentler winds were blowing, after these wars, when stocking tops were showing, when the co-op gave us daily bread and penicillin raised the dead, and combine harvesters kept us fed. After these wars,
is off of the Homo Eroticus album by Ian Anderson, just released about a week ago. It is available, and I do ask you, do check it out. Incredible music, as all of his tunes. I mean, really check it out. This is complicated music. It's also profoundly simple music. It's music that stirs up the inner struggles of humankind. Am I reading too much into it? Yeah, probably, but I love it, and it does to me every time I listen to any of his songs. It has for the last 45 years. So I hope you enjoyed it. Taken by this song, Sardarabad. It is a very special song, and I've spoken about it in the past. It says, when there is no more way of solving things, it is the crazies that get out there and really find the solution. It's a crazy solution. And that craziness has always stirred up an extra emotion inside of me. And in particular, you know, Albert Einstein, he uses that craziness, right? And there's a statement that he has that I love. He says, insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Now, I may paraphrase that, but that's the idea of it, okay? So insanity, think about that, okay? The insane person will do the same things over and over and over and expect different results. Well, you're doing the same thing. You're putting the same formula together. Why would you expect different results? So it's really insane to expect different. And every April 24th, there is this combination of events that take place, usually a bitterness and a hatred that's aimed at Turkey, and that hatred is aimed right back at Armenians. And this, it's a feudal war. It's a feudal war. It's allowing other people to really define you and create your destiny, your future. And I, for one, I refuse that. I would reject that. It's strange that I'm talking to you about this today, because just a few days ago we celebrated Easter, right? Last Sunday. Last Sunday was Easter Sunday, and we celebrated the empty tomb. Now I got to share with you. I got certainly enough emails about it that I need to share this with you. The Saturday night sermon. Yes, that was for real. Okay, that was for real. I had reached a point of. What is a breaking point? I reached my breaking point Saturday night. I had gone through a tremendously difficult Easter week. And in the Armenian community, as within all of the traditional, let's say the traditional church communities, there is that tendency to put things before the actual concepts, okay? The trappings before the actual concepts. So you have the issue of incense, for instance. Okay, incense is beautiful, it looks nice, it's smoke going up, it smells nice. And so you get trapped in that incense without realizing that it has a purpose. There's no salvific energy in that incense. It's meant to direct your soul, direct your thoughts in a particular direction. Or you look at the cross, and you look at the cross and you say that, oh, look at the cross, it has saved me. It's actually, yes, the cross can save you, but not because it's two sticks that are perpendicular to each other, but because of what it should conjure up within your mind, your heart, and the idea of salvation is there in the sacrifice. The symbol of the cross is a symbol of sacrifice, Christ giving himself to us. Think about other things, and yes, there is the big one too. You're going to get upset about this, right? But even Jesus is a trapping. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But what is he talking about? He's the way, the truth, and the life. God. Jesus is God. Jesus is love. And that's what it is. So sometimes people get in the trappings of looking at Christ and realizing that Christ directs us to something. It's not just Christ-centered, but the Christ-centeredness is love-centeredness, and that love-centeredness is the outreach that we have to one another. Now, this is difficult. A lot of people get hung up on these concepts. They get hung up on these ideas of the trappings, okay? It's very, very, very difficult. And so I went through a whole week of trappings between Palm Sunday and Friday night. Okay, let me go through what we did in the Armenian church. We had Palm Sunday, and I actually witnessed people in our community ripping apart palm branches just to get small branches. It was an unbelievable sight. I've never seen anything like that. You had elderly moms getting up, mighties we call them, these moms coming and ripping off these palm branches. During the week we had the blessing, the feet washing and blessing of oil. And all of a sudden we've got a group of people that are looking for oil. More than the experience of humility of what Christ is doing, more than reading the scriptures, they're out there, we want the oil. No, seriously. That same night, on that Thursday night, we had the Order of Darkness. We read the Passion narratives from seven different Gospels. And there is a tradition, because Jesus asks us, he says, stay awake with me during these hours. So there's a small little tradition that people have taken a string. And they knot them every time a gospel is read. they make a knot in the string, and this becomes a small little bracelet that they wear between Resurrection and Ascension Day. And the breast bracelet has 7 knots. Well, it's to remind them that they did not fall asleep, that they stood with Christ. How beautiful is that? It's a witness that they stood with Christ. But all of a sudden, people said, hey, we want to get string. We need string. We got to get string. We got to. And so all of a sudden, that string becomes more important than the Christ that you're following. And then Friday, we had the grave, the burial of Christ. And we actually constructed a tomb and we put flowers on it. People ripped off the flowers. They wanted to take the flowers. Now, I understand there's a blessing that you want to take to your house, but have a little bit of humility. I've never experienced this. I've got to be honest. I never experienced going to a cemetery and taking flowers from it. But, okay, people have that tradition, and I understand it's out of reverence. You want to take it, but to see people actually rip apart these things, this was very, very difficult for me. And then we get to Saturday, and there is what's called an interesting custom among certain Armenians who are from Iran. It is called Tatakh or Tatakhum. And what had happened is, I would say a few centuries ago, when the Christian church had to go underground, very rightly so, what families did was they took the bread and the wine on Christmas and on Easter Eve into their homes, and they celebrated the Eucharist within the most sacred of all spaces. And that tradition has continued now to the point where people come to the church only to receive the bread, so that they could take it home and do this service. Ignoring the sacrament of the Eucharist, they're going into their homes and celebrating a quasi-Eucharist. And it's very difficult for me. And so by Saturday night, I blew up. And I don't take it back. It's plain wrong. What the church is doing is plain wrong by selling all of the extra stuffs. And by selling, that's a quote-unquote, okay? We're not getting dollars for it. We're basically giving them out. And people are getting away from the true message of what Christ is all about. And that's a difficult one for me. It should be a difficult one for any Christian, and especially for pastors, for priests. We're there to bring people to Christ, not to oil, not to butter, not to strings, not to palm branches, not to bread, but to bring them to Christ. And Christ is to bring them to salvation. Okay, there's reasons for all of this. And each of these things are not more important than the cause that they serve, the cause being God. And the same is true, yes, about Bible. I know that's a real sacred one for a lot of people. But the Bible has its own purpose. It has its reason. It's not there just out in the blue. People say, oh, read the Bible. You know, it's beautiful that you read, but you got to read the Bible and put it into action. Remember what Christ says. Who are my mothers and my sisters, my brothers, my fathers? Who are they? The ones who not only hear the word of God, but do it. So you need to put it into action. You need to practice that faith. And so all of these elements that make up the church come together to fortify the concept of salvation, of us being reconciled with our Creator. That's what it's about. It's not more complicated than that. Sometimes we've got to get down to those profoundly simple. I think we're coming on the theme of today's show. That's what Ani taught us by looking at the baby boy kicking. It is profoundly true. It's not more complicated than that. It's just true. And we've got to understand that our faith is not about magic. It's not about different things that occupy space. But it's about us being at peace with our Maker, with ourselves, and of course with one another here on this planet. And so enter in the Armenian Genocide. Yes, last night we went to a genocide commemoration at Bicknell Park. Now this is a very special park for me. Back in 1965, let's see, how old was I? I was like nine years old, okay? The Armenian Genocide Memorial, Martyrs Memorial Monument began. It was created in 1968. His Holiness, the Catholicos of all Armenians, Vazgen I, came and put down these special, beautiful stones there. It was consecrated, very, very sacred space. And I was a young man at that time, 9 years old, and growing. And every year we'd go there. Our family, our parents would take us there, and we'd listen to the speeches. And the speeches have, you know, they're imprinted in my mind. You know, we will bring down the Turk. The Turk did this awful thing to us, and now we are going to make them pay for it, and we will eventually overcome. We will get it. And these are all beautiful rhetorical speeches that keep the spirit alive in us. I think that there's value to those, okay? We get there last night, and here it is 50 years later. They're talking about the same thing. I mean, in the same rhetoric. And they look around, and maybe I would say maybe 200, 300, maybe 400 people were there last night. I don't know. People say, where are the people? You know, yeah, 400 people may seem like a lot, but in a community this large, you know, with over 250,000 people, it's really kind of like a drop in the bucket. People are tired. They're tired of rhetoric. They're tired of the same old, same old. And it always interests me because what we do is at these events, we line it up with political characters. And I'll never forget, I was a young man. This is probably my greatest turnoff to this. Was I was a young man. I was probably in my mid-teens. When the mayor, then mayor of Montebello, got up, and this was a time when later Governor George Duke Majan was at the time an assemblyman, and he would come to these gatherings, and so too many other political characters. And I'll never forget, the mayor of Montebello got up, and he said that, you know, Turkey will never get away with this, and he says, as long as I'm the mayor, this will never happen. Well, guess what? You're the mayor. With all due respect, you're the mayor of a small town near Los Angeles, and there aren't Turks trying to infiltrate. Now, yes, I'll argue that there are other things that are keeping us away from maximizing our potential, but it's not these Turks that are out there, okay? It's not the people that come from the Mediterranean. So, it was a big turnoff at that time, it still is, that we have to appeal to politicians to somehow validate who we are. And so it is again. Last night, we heard them talk about the same thing. And they started talking about 99 years of denial. Ah, is that negative? How about 99 years of growth? How about 99 years of life? Why talk about 99 years of denial? I don't deny it. Who denies it? Who denies it? Who denies that the genocide happened? Turkey. That's it. That's it. Okay, they perpetrated the crime. They're the author of the crime. Yeah, they're going to deny it. It's pretty basic, right? That cannot define who I am. I've got to be bigger than that. I've got to be greater than that. You cannot allow them to define you. And there we were last night. We're sitting around in the park, and we are listening to the same speeches that we heard, you know, 50 years ago. Turkey will come to its knees. Turkey will one day accept this and all that. It's amazing because I don't think the people who are talking, who are saying these things, really believe these things. They can't because they're politicians. They've gotten to the place that they are because they haven't believed in these things. They haven't believed in justice. And so it continues. And so it was maybe about 10:30 that I got on the stage. And I spoke, well, the leveraging love. Basically, I gave a shorthand edition of that. It is now on YouTube. So we'll have a link on today's show notes so you can check out the actual speech as well as leveraging love. I got up and I spoke, and I will tell you, it did get a standing ovation. I was pretty excited about it, but here's what was exciting afterwards. Afterwards, people came up to me, and one of those high-ranking people came up, and he said that, thank you, it changed my life. And to me, that was probably just the reason why I was out there. We need to start talking in different terms. We cannot continue the insanity to do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, is insanity. So let's change our approach to it and then expect different results. And I think we can. I think this is one of the greatest challenges that not only Armenians but humanity has, is to understand that there is a power that is greater than all of the evil and greater than all of the destruction that humankind is capable of doing. And we need to count on that power. Christ showed it during this week, Holy Week. Isn't that the example of what resurrection is? That all of the evil came together on that cross. It was the evil of pride, envy, sloth, covetousness, anger, gluttony, lust. It was all there, right? Everywhere, all of it was there. Because why else would they crucify him? Because of all of these human angers, human frailties and sins that we have. They all come together. Jesus, the sinless, the immaculate, the pure. What was he? The incarnation of love. Can love have any evil in it? By definition, can love have any evil in it? No, it can't. It is pure. It is giving. It is sacrificial. It is complete beauty. And all of the things that I described, lust, anger, gluttony, all of that came together to do away with that love. But it couldn't, because the power of love is great. Now, can we take that power of love and channel it in our own lives? Well, if we can't, then all of this that we talk about doesn't have any meaning. Have you ever thought about that? If we're just doing religion for the sake of religion, if you really think that there's some God in the sky who's just after you to just praise him to death, excuse the language, it's absurd. Okay, God is not sitting there and saying, okay, let's see these people glorify me because I dig on that. You know, it's like my ego needs stroking. No, it's beyond that. Just the opposite, actually. It's not about me, God says. It's about you. It's about how you get along with one another. And that's the whole purpose of religion. That's the purpose of Christianity. It's right out there. It's for us to love one another. And so during this week, let me also say this. With all of the difficulties that I had during Holy Week, and yes, that Saturday night sermon is there, and that is true. There are some changes that are going to be made in, as far as I'm concerned, and what I need to do to keep the sanity of my priesthood before me. But with all that being said, Sunday morning we got together and we worshiped. We worshiped a beautiful, beautiful celebration of the Eucharist, and it was the celebration of resurrection. If you didn't get a chance to see it or be part of it, do check it out, okay? It is on YouTube. And I promise you, within today or tomorrow, I will also put a link to the entire text of that service, okay? I got a few requests for the text of that service. Yeah, it is a liturgy that I wrote, and it is based on the liturgies of the Armenian Church as well as St. John Chrysostom, and it is our celebration. Now, what's interesting, yes, there is a woman deacon in there. Yes, a woman does read the Holy Scriptures. Yes. That all takes place, but I'm going to tell you something even more profound. A man reads the Holy Scriptures as well. A man participates. In other words, it doesn't matter. You know, it was something really interesting. I saw that they were talking about, you know, women deacon, and we're revisiting the issue. There's no need to revisit it. A deacon is somebody who helps out the priest, who gets our focus to the Eucharist. And yes, we did have women deacons, and that's who served. So do check out that celebration of the Eucharist that took place Easter morning, and really made my Easter week complete. I want to thank everybody who prayed with us that morning, because when we got to the Easter celebration itself, the main one, I shouldn't even use that expression. It's not the main one. When we got to the traditional one, okay, the celebration of the Divine Liturgy in the Armenian language with all the trappings and everything. And it was there that it was very clear to me, and I think clear to everybody else who was celebrating that day, that we all have different ways of approaching the liturgy. We all have different ways of making it work in our lives. Let's be thankful for that diversity. Let's be thankful, whether it's in our approach to genocide recognition and genocide acceptance, or whether it's in our approach to salvation. It really is such a personal matter. And this became even more clear during the week. I saw a popular movie. We went out and saw this movie called God Is Not Dead. I can't tell you that I recommend it. It's okay. It was an okay movie. I thought it was corny in many ways. But it was good that it got us to think, you know. And it was nothing new. It was that philosophical defense of God, which, if you've done philosophy, you know, it's really not that exciting. Personally, I don't know. I thought it was a good movie. I probably would. Let's say it this way, okay? If it's around for rental for a few bucks, or to see it, you know, on a Netflix, I may see it again. But I wouldn't go out and spend any money on it. It wasn't that great, okay? Now, that being said, it did come around to a personal decision, a personal understanding, a personal reconciliation, and that's what it's about. Okay, how are you feeling about it? And that's why I said, you know, whether it's the religion or whether it's on a national ethnic basis, I'm going to be honest with you. The rhetoric that I heard over the last few days about the Armenian Genocide, and unfortunately, I see it among young people, particularly on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. It's disgusting. It's disgusting because it's allowing somebody else to define who you are and define your future. It's allowing genocide to define you. It doesn't make sense to me. But it might to other people's, and I'm willing to concede to that. I'm willing to concede that that's fine, you know? Makes sense. Obviously, there's a lot of strength in hatred. And if you can get people to hate the Turks, you've got some power there. And what I'm saying is that there's something beyond that. There's a power in the good. If we could tap into that, we can change. We can change the way the world is looking at these things. And I think that there's... I've spoken enough about it, okay? I'm not going to bore you further today. I'll put links on today's show notes and you can check out all of that stuff. But here we are, 99th year of genocide, 99 years later. And if we do the same things over and over, then yes, it is insanity to expect different results. What I'm proposing to you is let's do something different. Let's walk in the shoes of others. Let's walk in the shoes of others and understand their pain. Let's be true to our Armenian understanding of Tzavad Danem. Let me take your pain. Let me understand your pain. Let me feel what you're going through. And when you watch the speech that I gave last night, or you listen to it, you listen to some of the stuff that we've been talking about, because I'm not going to just end it with this next step, okay? I hope you don't think that I'm just pushing my stuff. But actually, it's more than just the few minutes that we spend together on next step. It's a philosophy that's emerging. And I'm very happy to tell you that within the next few weeks, we are going to be launching In His Shoes, as the way it should be. In other words, a way of life, a way of understanding, a way of reconciliation for all of us in the places that we are in our lives. So I'll be looking forward to sharing that with you as we get closer to the launch date. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now because we are going to be traveling also to Armenia. We're going to be celebrating the 100th anniversary of life. Yeah, you heard me right. We're not going to be commemorating only. We're going to be celebrating that life. We're going to be going out to Armenia. We're going to be going on both sides of Ararat. And I just found out yesterday that there are a couple seats left on that. We have a group of 20 people, and I think we can take up to 25. This is really one of your last chances. If you feel like going to Armenia with us, it's going to be between June 15th and July 7th. And we're going to Armenia. We're going to both sides of Ararat. Ararat, the mountain of Armenians. Yes, it doesn't reside in Armenia proper. It is in Turkish territory today, but it is the Armenian mountain. You want to go to both sides of it, you can with us, with this small pilgrimage group. Anyway, that is the way I'm feeling today, April 24th, 2014. 99 years after the genocide began. And 4 days after the greatest victory in human history, the victory over death by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by God Himself, by the author of life, who said that in me you will find the way, the truth, and the life, because in me there is love. And that love is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is greater than even all the enemies, including genocide itself. It is the power of life. Let's celebrate that today. That's how I'm feeling on this April 24th. As I respect your way to commemorate, I hope and trust that you will respect the way I'm commemorating. God bless you. God bless the Armenians. God bless the way we love one another.
This is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Before we end today's show, I just want to give you an opportunity to get involved. I know this gets people excited. We were talking about this last night with Susie, it's interesting because we have so many people who come up to us and say, "This is great. Thank you." We get a lot of that kind of recognition. "Thank you. This is great. Keep up the good work. This really makes sense. Thank you for not allowing us to check our brain in at the door," you know. We have a lot of fun when we receive those kind of comments, but it's really pushing the limits to the next stage and saying, okay, we want to get a movement going. We want to get people reacting in many ways. So when Susie comes out and says that if you want to make a contribution, if you want to donate to this cause, it's really to solicit a reaction. What is that reaction that you have? Christ, he turns to his disciples and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And each of them gives a story. Some people think you're John the Baptist. Others think that you are Elijah come back from the grave. And Jesus said, "And who do you say that I am?" In other words, each of us have a personal obligation to answer Christ in whatever form he comes to us. Apostle ministry is committed to the apostolic evangelization process. In other words, what the apostles preached. To strip out some of the trappings that we have that cause us to stumble, that cause us not to see the beauty of the church, to see the beauty of Christ's fullness, of the love that he has to offer. And so we invite you to get involved. That's how simple it is. Profoundly simple. Profoundly true. That brings us to the end of today's show. It is April 24th. I'm going to continue by going out, believe it or not, to a domestic violence exhibit that's taking place this evening here in the city of Burbank. And that is where our diocese is located. But just as much as we have to look at the suffering of people 99 years ago, it's very important that we look at the suffering of people today and make a difference in their lives. I'm heading out that way. I wish you could come with me, but I'm thankful that you joined me today on this podcast of The Next Step. So for the entire crew who put this together, please join us throughout the week at all the usual spots, including Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. For Susie, our producer, Vahed, our webman, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed and been blessed by this edition of The Next Step with Father Voskin. We invite you to join us every week for our regular broadcast. This, as well as all other episodes of The Next Step, are available for streaming and download at epostle.net. In addition, you can stream, download, or subscribe at Apple's iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio, or try our smartphone app. New episodes are available globally every Thursday. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. We invite you to point your web browser to epostle.net, where you can enter your email address to have The Next Step delivered directly to your inbox. For the production crew and all the members of In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking The Next Step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with The Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, The Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.